Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I want to share with you guys something that God was showing me this morning. I was studying in Hebrews chapter 1 because I'm still chewing on Sunday's message. It was so powerful. And so I thought I'm going to start all the way from the beginning of Hebrews, you know, to gain a better understanding of what happened in Hebrews 4, you know, where he preached on Sunday. And I have just been blown away this morning. So I'm going to read you guys what I'm reading. And I want to see if you come to the same conclusion I am coming to. Because the Word of God is so powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And like we talked about yesterday, you know, when you read the Bible is examining you. You know, it's reading your soul. It's cutting and slicing and dicing. It's bringing the light to the darkness. So it exposes, the Word does. Okay, so in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So we know in the Old Testament that God did talk to the prophets, you know, the prophets, and the prophets spoke to the people. That's how communication was back then. Has in those last days, these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, boy, here I go in my journal this morning. Jesus made the world. Jesus is the heir of all things. So, I'm noticing how the attributes of Jesus here, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So let's just chew on that a minute. Let's just eat this T-bone steak together. Because now, in this end time situation that we're all living in, we talked about this yesterday, about our image and what's happening in this end time scenario with the beast trying to destroy the image of God. All of humanity is created in his image. He blew into the nostrils of Adam. Thus, our DNA has a component that the beast, no matter what technology they come up with, that tells you how holy blood is. And in the technology, they cannot duplicate it. I showed you guys on the news one day where they do have a duplication of blood, but it is very limited, only lasts for so long, and it's a fake synthetic blood that they can use in ambulances in emergencies. But the point is that they cannot duplicate God's breath. So when you think about what the Word is saying right here, Jesus is the express image of God's person. And I had a conversation with Dennis. I'm like, Dennis, I never knew that God just created Jesus. I just thought he always was, he always is, and he always will be to come. I didn't know there was a time that God actually created Jesus. You know, and Dennis brought up a good point. He said, well, think about it like this. He said, God is a spirit, right? I'm like, yeah, he is a spirit. So God is a spirit. He created an image of himself to have relationship with man. all from the beginning of time. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? He created a part of himself and called him son. And then I said, well, Dennis, you know, then the way that the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary does not make Mary the mother of Jesus. Just because a woman in the natural carried the seed that God inserted into Mary does not mean that she is the forever mother, the mother that the way that the Catholic religion frames her and idolizes her and even prays to her, which is very dangerous. But it does not mean that there is actually a mother. I do know that there's a woman on YouTube who proclaims that she believes that the Holy Spirit is a woman, because it says that wisdom is a woman, where, you know, it says her, you know. So in her theology, that she believes that she understands that's a Trinity. God the Father, the Holy Spirit's the wife, the mother, and then Jesus is the Son. Which would make sense. I mean, the family unit is one. But I've just never went down that road. I'm not so sure it's that important. Because I understand the Holy Spirit as a he, you know. But I do understand wisdom is like a pearl, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But the point that I'm trying to say is this. In this chapter, when God is talking about, you know, are using this author to talk about creating Jesus, it does not talk about who a mother is. It just say God did. And if you think, I mean, even God created angels. God created Adam. God created Eve. You know, he creates all things. He doesn't need another thing to add to the component. He created a man. So it's interesting when you see it like that. And then he made him the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory. He's a representation of God the Father. And then when you think about, you know, Jesus being down here on the earth, you know, he even says, you know, when you see me, you see the Father. If you accept me, you accept the Father. You know, it's such a, I'm still chewing on this. It's such a powerful revelation of Jesus and his relationship with his Father, and that he is actually the image of God. And then you think about humanity, we're created in his image. And then in this end time scenario, just like what happened in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they did chimera, which is the angels, the evil angels, had sex with women, created these giants, which means they became transhuman. They were mixed, a mixed species of two different creations of God, the angels and the humans. Okay, let's look at this end time scenario with CRISPR. This technology that they have got is Luciferian in nature. I know they would argue that. I know. But it is. It gives them like godlike powers, where they can go in there and change genes around and completely change the course of God. Like, for instance, you know, they got babies now. You can pick the hair color and you can just design your own baby just about. I mean, CRISPR technology is literal, like a satanic nanobot. You know, it goes in there. It cuts out part of the DNA, which is like the breath. It takes the breath. because the DNA is actually our book that is written. You know, they have discovered, science has discovered, that our DNA is the greatest storer for data. And now they actually have a thing called the Internet of Blood. Internet of DNA. It's a real thing. I know how crazy this sounds. And trying to explain it to people who have not been studying or have not been paying attention to what's happening out there, it sounds so crazy. But your DNA strands, they're made of letters. You know, and so it's a coding system within itself. And if anybody's ever done computer coding, then you will see how they're really doing this, because they're cutting out our genetic code and they're inserting this new patented code, which now opens up a whole new frontier for the beast. And this is what they want, because it does change the image of people. It's sad. I mean, one of the biggest telltale signs is their mouth. Their face becomes crooked. It's sad. You know, it just changes the image. And so when you think about, as in the days of Noah, what happened with Noah, changing the image, you know, having sex, mingling species, same here. This CRISPR, the coding that they put in there, it's all a patent. I've showed you guys how in the Supreme Court, they actually proved that if something is patented, that if it's inserted, that it's actually that item it's inserted into is a part of that patent, because the patent is now a part of them, type of deal. So this is what I was telling you yesterday about the image of the Christian, the ones who are holding out. I mean, if you look at the first agenda, you know, the COVID, the Great Reset, they got 70% of us. So that leaves, and they even say 80%. I mean, so let's go just 80. I mean, that's 20% of the population that has not chosen. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you have the vaccine because you have chemtrails in the sky and because of what you eat. Everybody's vaccinated. No, we're not, people. There is a difference. It's called choice. And people say, no, they didn't choose. Some of them would lose their job, so you chose to keep your job. You chose. And then they'll say, well, what about the kids? You know, they chose. Their parents are their authority over them. Well, what about the people in the nursing homes who didn't choose? Who had the choice? I interviewed that woman that was with the nursing homes when this happened. She told us what happened. She said she did not know of one child that had the authority over the person that said no to it. Such a sad fact. Those people, I mean, they'll give an answer for it. And like I said, you know, whether we all believe it's the mark of the beast or not, because of the DNA changes that takes place. My only suggestion to people of hope is coming out of agreement. That's the only thing I can think of. Because, like, say if you was one of them people that didn't have a choice and somebody chose it for you, but in your heart you really didn't want it. You know, let's say, for instance, any of us go to prison and they try to jab you and you tell them no and then they want to come up and just stick you. I'd be praying in tongues the entire time that thing's trying to enter. I'd be refusing it with my mouth. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So the people have to renounce it. They have to come out of agreement with it and say, I renounce the decision that was made. I don't have anything to do with this. This is not my choice. Thus, you will not connect to me. I command you to die on your way. You know what I mean? I mean, but the point that I'm trying to say, though, about this scripture is the image of God is what's in under attack right now. And so, as you see, and I've explained to you guys about these AI agents that are bribing people. And even if you watch that movie, the Black Mirror has even got these situations in there. It even has situations in there where the agents, you know, turn on these people. And they bribe them and do things, you know, to try to get them to comply and to not be exposed. You know, a lot of people will go into self-preservation mode and they will bow to the beast. So that's what I'm trying to say about the image, your image being shattered, you know. Which image is more important? Type of deal. Anyways, let's continue. But in verse 3, it definitely explains, you know, that Jesus is the express image of his Father. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, died on the cross, he was the lamb that was slain. And then he sat down on the right hand of the Father on high, his majesty. So that tells you there are separate people. They're separate entities. God is on the throne. God's a spirit, right? He's on the throne. But to his right is another entity, is Jesus. And even, you know, talking about the Trinity, because this is how they're going to kill people in the future with the Noahide laws. Because they believe that people that believe in the Trinity are a farce. They believe they are demonic. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in him being God. You know, none of that stuff. So, Jesus, you know, when he was ascended after his resurrection, after his time with the disciples, those 40 days, before he went up in the first book of Acts, he says to the people, I have to go so that the Holy Spirit will come. So there you go, a third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within the house. Remember, the Holy Spirit made the house. When the fire came, the house came. This is the way I understand anyway. And we are in that revelation right now, is the revelation of the Holy Spirit. But when we leave the earth, there he goes. And then this world will be without light. We are the light, see. But that's why the darkness wants to destroy the light. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So naturally, you see, Jesus is above the angels in hierarchy. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten thee. So there you go. There was a point in time of creation. And again, I will be to him, which means separate, a father, and he shall be to me a son. So I don't know. Maybe this morning it just kind of hit me like, wow, he really did just sit down and created a son, you know. Okay, then, and again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world. Oh, that's right. You think of John 3:16. He gave his first begotten. Wow. He said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And I think about, you know, that vision I had of them 30-foot tall angels, you know, with those big flames of fires for swords. It's a real thing. But unto the Son, he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So let's look at this. Let's look at the definition of scepter. It's an ornamented staff or rod carried by a monarch during official ceremonies as a symbol of royal power and sovereignty. So he gave him like a rod showing his supreme power, his ruling authority. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Did y'all know what iniquity means? It's very interesting. Let me look up the definition of iniquity. Iniquity is a noun that means gross injustice, wickedness, or a serious moral violation or sin. So it's like a terrible, gross sin. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Wonder what he meant by that. Oil of gladness above your fellows. I would say the fellows are the angels, you know, and for him to have the oil of gladness, isn't that the coolest? Let's see what the definition would say of oil of gladness. Oil of gladness. Is a biblical metaphor representing supreme divine joy, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and God's comfort replacing grief. The phrase describes anointing a king. He anointed him king. That is so cool. Has anointed you with the oil. Oh, man. Well, he was the first one that was anointed then. Because look what they did with the priest in the tabernacle. It was the same process. Wow. I did not know Jesus was the first anointed one. Wow, that is so profound. Wow. The phrase describes God anointing a king and ultimately applied to Jesus Christ with the oil of gladness above your companions because of a deep love for righteousness and a hatred for wickedness. Wow. The Holy Spirit. In biblical traditions, liquid oil frequently symbolizes the indwelling and empowering of the presence of God's Spirit. It signifies an exchange where emotional heaviness, grief, or mourning is lifted and transformed into a spiritual celebration and peace. Being anointed with it represents being chosen, refreshed, and spiritually set apart with a joy that transcends hard life circumstances. Wow! That is so cool. And thou, Lord, this is verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you remain, and they all shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but you are the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make you a footstool, your enemies a footstool? He's saying, I didn't give the angels that authority. I gave you the authority that says, sit up here with me. And they all, And they not all are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Woo! That opens up a whole nother can right there, baby. Because we are heirs as well. Heirs of salvation. Why are we heirs of salvation? Because of the tabernacle. Jesus is the tabernacle. He's the lamb that was slain. Wow. This is just so much this morning to chew on. I just had to share it with you guys. It is. I am just full of joy. Just chewing on that this week. I mean, his sermon Sunday, I'm telling you, that was the best one he's ever preached. So anointed. I'm just so proud of him. And I thank the Lord for giving me a pastor that just cuts right to the bone. Anyway. All right. Well, that's all I have here.